Hello, and welcome to the podcast for the November 2017 issue of the Journal of Cardiac Failure. I'm Sue Wingate, an associate editor of the journal, and with me today is Dr. Joseph Stolich, the primary author of an important paper in this issue on the feasibility of using real-time assessment of patient-reported outcome measures in a heart failure clinic. We'll be talking with Dr. Stolich about his paper shortly, but first I want to briefly highlight other papers in this November issue, which we have designated as a mini-focus issue on patient engagement. Although there's multiple varying definitions of patient engagement, it generally includes concepts such as patient-centered care, shared decision-making, patient activation, patient satisfaction. Different models and frameworks exist, and it can occur on several levels, patient, organization, and policy. This mini-focus issue has a potpourri of patient engagement topics, including 8 papers that relate to some aspect of the patient engagement concept. Interestingly, these papers offer a view of the issue from multiple perspectives, inpatient and outpatient, United States and Canada, as well as qualitative and quantitative approaches. Further, all types of manuscripts we accept are included on this topic. We have papers from a perspectives approach, a research letter, brief report, a clinical investigation, a methodology, as well as an editorial. First, there's 2 studies of inpatients, both with substantial sample sizes that provide key information on family and patient-related barriers to goals of care discussions, which is the paper by you et al., as well as a highlight of gaps in communication at end-of-life care issues between physicians and patients, the paper by Young. Second, 2 papers focus on patient-reported outcomes, one that examines these outcomes related to levels of patient satisfaction, the paper by Masterson Krieber et al., and the paper we're going to speak about in more depth shortly by Dr. Stolich and his team about the feasibility of measuring patient-reported outcomes in a clinic setting. Third, 2 papers address the emerging field of the use of social media with patients with heart failure. One paper by Owen and team examines the use of weblogs, and another paper by Widmer et al. Provides a timely review of the general use of social media and notes which platforms are most used in our heart failure patients. Fourth, a methodology paper by Camplain and colleagues explores the accuracy of patient self-report of heart failure and offers us some evidence-based suggestions on how to confirm these reports. Finally, a qualitative article by Matlock et al. Explores the area of decision-making for patients with ICDs and presents very thought-provoking findings about cognitive bias. And this is accompanied by an excellent editorial by Goetz and colleagues to help place these findings in perspective. Now onto the paper under discussion today. Dr. Stolich is here with us from the University of Utah to discuss his team's project related to the feasibility of the implementation of real-time assessment of patient-reported outcomes, also known as PROs, in a heart failure clinic. Welcome, and thanks for taking the time to share information about your paper with us. You know, this topic is of real strong interest to our clinician readership. It focuses on a real important issue that we face every day, how to get consistent, reliable patient input during a clinic visit, and how to capture this information electronically in our digital records over time. I guess my first question for you, Dr. Stolich, is what was your impetus for doing this study? Did you note gaps in the literature? Were you already trying to implement this in your clinic? Both of those, others? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me. And first, I would also like to say that I found the issue very stimulating of the Journal of Cardiac Failure that focused on patient engagement, and it's a privilege to have one of the papers published in this issue. To your question, we have been thinking about how to better determine patient health status in our clinic. We have a large heart failure clinic, and provide more objective information and maybe even better information that's provided directly by our patients. Now, as we work at the university, we've been part of many clinical studies where patient assessment, patient-reported outcomes are being collected. But historically, what is being done is that these outcomes are collected on paper forms, and those are being sent to a DCC. And then many months later, you get back maybe a composite measure of how patients did with the different treatments they were provided, and you cannot really track it down back to an individual patient. The reason we decided to do this study is that we felt that there have been progress in psychometric tools and measurements, along with progress in technology that actually could allow us to obtain patient-reported outcomes real-time, meaning obtain those as patients come into our clinic and on an iPad that is issued to the patients and obtain them in a pretty short period of time. Most patients spend less than 6 minutes entering the PRO tools. But more importantly, what took us some time to figure out, but we successfully were able to complete it, is once the patients complete, to have the results uploaded, scored immediately, and then provided back and linked to our electronic health record, such that when the provider walks into the room to see the patient, they can actually see the result, both numeric and in a graphical form, of the tools we've selected that the patient just completed 10 or 15 minutes before in the waiting room. So I think that was our major goal, to see if this hypothesis that we could do it in a large number of patients expeditiously in real time, if we could prove the hypothesis that it can be done today.
Got it. I reading through your paper and hearing you talk right now, I'd like to just talk a minute about the IT support. You noted in your paper that this support is really significant, and you know that the project probably depends on that. And so, related to that, did this MEVAL portal you talk about in that study, did that exist? Did you have to develop it for this study? Did you have to develop all your IT tools for this study, or were some of them pre-existing?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And I think we were fortunate and benefited a little bit from the circumstances. So a couple things that have happened at our institution. So first, the first version of the portal was initially developed by our Department of Orthopedics, where their investigators actually also had an interest in seeing how patient-reported outcomes change in response to their treatment. And of course, their approach is slightly different with an event being surgery, maybe, and then the outcome comes a little bit sooner. However, at the same time, what happened, as you might know, that CMS has proposed patient-reported outcomes to be a performance metric for hospitals
Yes.
in different areas.
Yes.
And what our leadership of our hospital and our investigator team has suggested is that we would prefer that these measures be not just some reporting tool back to a regulatory agency, but that we implement it in a way that's clinically useful real-time to providers in our hospital. So the administration actually was very responsive to that, and they encouraged expanding patient-reported outcome measurement across different areas of the hospital, and we were very early adopters and combined this clinical approach with our investigation as well. We've benefited from having full buy-in from the hospital as well as our investigative team.
Well, you know, timing's everything.
Yeah, that's right.
So it sounds like it was supported clinically, not just from a research perspective.
That is correct. So the implementation was supported clinically. And then for our research questions, we have been fortunate to receive support from the American Heart Association through the Strategically Focused Heart Failure Research Networks, where I serve as the PI of the population arm. The AHA has helped us to add a research dimension to this clinical initiative.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so if you might give advice to other centers about IT support, would it be just getting them on board right away, or would you have any other suggestions about if another center wanted to take this on, how would they would really have to engage their IT team?
Yeah, so I think engagement of the IT team is extremely important, but I think what's even more important is step one is to identify the stakeholders and make sure that everybody feels that this is a really important activity, such that the IT team can get a full green light to come in with their resources, because certainly significant resources are needed to first generate the mobile ability to collect PROs, but then also to integrate it into an electronic health record which I think is critical for the user friendliness of this approach, such that there does not need to be a second program that the providers would need to open to look
Got
at
it.
The results.
That makes sense. And talking about the providers makes me think about another part of your paper. You mentioned that staff adoption was a bit of a barrier. The training looked extensive that you did, so I really was wondering, how long did it take to train staff? What levels of staff did you have to train? And did you, by any chance, assess staff feedback or satisfaction with the process?
That is right, Sue. So I think we approached it from a perspective, as I mentioned when we started talking, what we are familiar with as far as PRO results is usually composite reports and change over time from clinical trials and clinical studies. However, our intuitive understanding of what a number, let's say the KCCQ-12 result of 45 means in an individual patient is much more limited. So in heart failure, we all know that serum sodium level of 130 is a red flag. And we know that creatinine rising to a level of 3 milligrams per deciliter is a red flag. But a change of PRO from 55 to 45, we have a less intuitive understanding of that. So we decided to really come in with training to jumpstart that learning and understanding of what PRO results mean. So what we did for the staff, we had two sets of training. So one training was more technical as far as how the PROs would be obtained and how do you access them, and that was done for all staff members, including the front-end staff of the clinic, the advanced practice providers in the clinic, all the attendings in the clinic, staffing the heart failure clinic. And then we also had a couple presentations that focused on interpretation of PROs, and our collaborator, Dr. John Spertus, was instrumental in providing us with this training. We have also, you ask about providing feedback. So the feedback, we actually conducted qualitative approach it again from a research standpoint. We conducted two focus groups, the qualitative research approach with providers to understand their perception of PRO utility, and have received actually very important feedback as far as graphical display of the results that would be more intuitive than we initially thought how we would display these results. And
well, that's interesting.
We felt that this was very important in successful implementation of this project.
That's great to know. And related to that, did you happen to measure patient acceptance as well, or you just measured the time it took for them to complete it and how much they completed, or was there any qualitative input from them as well?
So far we've only measured the time. However, what we have planned as the next step is semi-structured patient interviews in collaboration with our qualitative research group and Dr. Susan Zickmund. So this is a plan to assess how patients perceive this new approach in our clinic.
I was going to ask you just finally that table 3 lists areas in need of future research. I was going to ask what next steps you're looking at in your institution. So you're saying you want to proceed with some patient interviews. Is there anything else you're looking at doing related to this process?
So our eventual goal is to build predictive models that will have an outcome that is a little bit more meaningful to patients than survival alone in heart failure, that sometimes is an outcome that patients may not give totally the highest priority to. What patients care about is to feel well. And so with this information, we'll be able to look at outcomes that include survival with favorable quality of life. And our eventual goal is at crossroads of treatment decisions to be able to use these models and be able to share with patients how their outcome as far as quality of life and survival is likely to look with different treatment options that may be continued medical therapy, proceeding with destination therapy, LVAD, exploring heart transplantation, et cetera. And we now have data collected on more than 2,000 individual patients. We hope that in the relatively near future, we'll have a sufficient patient size and sufficient follow-up to be able to build models that are robust enough that they will be helpful to both providers and patients to make shared clinical decisions.
Wow, and those papers need to be submitted to JCF. No, just kidding.
Right.
Just kidding. Is there anything else you want to add about your project or your paper? I think it's really going to be a big draw for our audience.
Well, thank you very much for allowing us to publish our research and for this interview, and I hope that others will find our research interesting and will explore options how to implement patient-reported outcome collection in their heart failure programs as well.
Great. So we're about to finish up the podcast. I would direct anyone listening to the November issue for more information on this paper, as well as the other papers on patient engagement that I mentioned. And I really want to extend a special thank you to Dr. Stalick, who's rounding this week, for taking the time to talk to us today about his important research project. Thank you.
Thank you very much.